Hospitals in parts of the country are grappling yet again with a tough question. Should they ration care as mostly unvaccinated COVID-19 patients fill up their emergency rooms? Idaho has made the decision, authorizing so-called crisis standards of care in part of the state. But as the Delta variant continues its deadly surge, can overburdened medical workers offer help to everyone in need? And what should they do if they can't? Daniel Wickler is a professor at the Harvard School of Public Health, and he's been thinking about this, and he joins us now for more. Professor, welcome.
Thank you.
What do you think when you hear the state health agency in Idaho cite a severe shortage of staffing and available beds in that part of the state? How serious is the situation?
Well, the state authorities say it's critically serious. There are several places in the country, including Hawaii and New Mexico, where this kind of announcement is it's being prepared, and we may hear about that in the next few days. But Idaho seems to be the first place where they've decided that they're already there and they need to implement these standards. Last year, Idaho put together a very detailed plans about what to do if this ever happened. They have a committee that will administer it, and what they've essentially done now is to say that in the central part of the state, north central, they simply cannot provide the usual standard of care to people in serious need, and they're going to go to these crisis standards.
Let's talk about some of the ethical questions here. What about this question of whether vaccination status should be considered in deciding who receives care? Jimmy Kimmel said this on his late show Tuesday. Let's listen.
Dr. Fauci said that if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. That choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
He's making a joke here, but the horse goo he's referring to is ivermectin, a drug that has not been shown to have any effect on COVID, but some people are taking anyway. What do you think about what he's saying here?
Well, I understand where he's coming from. I understand why the audience roared its approval. I think it's growing impatience with people who stubbornly refuse to vaccinate, and in particular, the insistence of some of them that it's strictly a question of their personal liberty without taking into account the fact that if they don't vaccinate, their decision is going to have potentially lethal effects on their neighbors. So that part I understand, but in terms of the specific recommendation that he had, I have to say, I think it's indefensible.
Why? You actually write for the Washington Post in a piece that we'll actually link to here in now.org that, quote, doctors and hospitals are not in the blame and punishment business, nor should they be. I believe this is what you're saying here, but say more about that.
That's exactly the point. You know, doctors take care of all kinds of people who wouldn't be there for needing treatment if they had made wiser decisions. Think of somebody who ignores the warning signs at a ski resort and they decide that Double Diamond isn't dangerous enough for them. They're going to go the back way and they get all banged up. And the doctor says, well, did you obey all the warning signs that were posted there that said, this is very dangerous, don't go here? Well, of course, they'd have to say, no, I ignored them. Now, is the doctor at that point supposed to say, well, get in the back of the line, or maybe even we don't treat people like you around here? Of course not. That's not the way that the medical profession is supposed to function, and it's fortunate for all of us that they don't. Now, in this case, the frustration that I completely share with people who obstinately refuse to look at the science and to accept their responsibilities as citizens here, that's fine and justified, and I think that there's a lot more leverage that we have that we could apply to people who are refusing vaccines that we ought to be using. But what I wouldn't like to see is that doctors abandon a longstanding and honorable tradition of seeing their patients basically as people who are in need, who they might be able to help, and not getting into the question of who's at fault.
You know, hospitals are overburdened already. This was before the pandemic. And the pandemic does not appear to be ending anytime soon. Is there something about how hospitals operate that you think could or should change to better manage the surges we're seeing in new patients, especially these unvaccinated people who we know are more vulnerable?
this isn't the hospital's role. The hospital gets into business when the patients show up at the door. The problem, of course, is that an appallingly large number of Americans are refusing to be vaccinated when it's something that's clearly in their interest and absolutely in the interest of the country as a whole. If you want to go to the source of this, you have to ask, where is this coming from? And of course, they have many diverse sources, one of them being some of the news media and social media. If we want to find a fitting target for our anger, it seems to me that that's probably where we should start. But that's not the hospital's business. They sort of have these blinders on. They are supposed to look at patients as fellow humans in need, and they ask these traditional questions. Do you need care? Do you need it urgently? And can we be of help? And if the answers are yes, 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 you go to the front of the line. And in Idaho, they're having to make a further sort, which is tragic because there'll be people who do need care urgently. And they have to decide, well, maybe we can help this one more than we can help that one. And so the first one will get in, the second one won't.
Daniel Wigler is a professor of ethics and population health at the Harvard School of Public Health. Thank you so much, Professor.
My pleasure.